This time, it looks like the people know it, and they're standing up.
This time is different.
It is different. Tell me how.
Lukashenko, for them, it's like the artifact from the past, you know, someone who is like from the school books. You know, they don't affiliate themselves with him, and they don't want to live in the country managed by him.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Backstory. I'm Dana Lewis. We have just finished putting up our report on Europe's bad boys in the last edition. How Poland and Hungary have rolled back press freedoms and are autocracies playing at democracy, but undemocratic. And now, Belarus. Shocking scenes overnight as the election in Belarus shows the president, Lukashenko, perhaps on his last legs. Illegitimate election, and people who took to the streets brutally put down by the police. But this time the voters know they've been had, and Belarus may never be the same again. People are standing up to authority. Right, joining me now is Franek Wieczorka, who is a journalist who was born in Belarus, and he's a movie maker, and he was even expelled from journalism school in Belarus. Why is that, if I can start with that?
The problem is that if you're active, if your opinion is different from the opinion of authorities, you're always under pressure, under risk. I started my activism, let's say, when I was 13 years old. That was the time when I was first time detained. It was 2001, presidential elections, and I and my cousin, we took the spray, and we wrote on the wall, on the building fence, Vibirai, elect, go to elections. That was the first mobilization campaign asking people to go to elections and vote against Lukashenko. And now, 19 years after, we're still there, we still have Lukashenko, and we still call people to vote and to bring changes to the country. All my life just passed under the flag of dictatorship and the struggle against dictatorship. Mm-hmm. I was studying in underground school, the underground school in different underground apartments, because the school where I was studying, it was closed by the government as the nest of opposition. Later, I was studying in the Faculty of Journalism, but after several arrests, detentions for my publications and for my activities, and just without any reasons, they expelled me. And later, they took me to the army for a year and a half in Chernobyl zone, where I was fighting NATO soldiers. We were told that NATO is going to invade us. And basically, this is how I was, this is how I became whom I became. You know, that's the constant fight with a regime, with a system. I was trying to spread the word, you know, to promote democracy and freedom, you know, to inspire other guys, other peers, you know, to be active. And this is why I'm so deeply involved in morally, psychologically.
Let's talk about what's happening right now, because exactly. It's pretty incredible when you take a look at some of the video which is emerging from people who were standing up to Lukashenko's troops, not only in Minsk, but these demonstrations have spread right across the country. People saying that this election, you know, just isn't distorted. I mean, it's an outright theft of democracy. It's a sham.
Yes, and basically, it's they do not even pretend they are counting votes. They even don't pretend they do care about public opinion. The process that is called elections in Belarus doesn't have anything in common with elections in UK, EU, United States of America. They even don't count ballots. So they basically put numbers in the final protocols, numbers that are given from the Central Electoral Commission.
Okay, he's a cheat. He's a cheat. And Lukashenko has suppressed his opposition for years and, silenced them, arrested them. But I mean, this time it looks like the people know it and they're standing up.
This time is different.
It is different. Tell me how.
It's a very unique situation. We never saw such mobilization as we see right now. The new generation of people just raised people of generation of YouTube, Instagram, and Telegram messaging app. They don't care about Lukashenko's ideal, Soviet past, communism, you know, all this nostalgia about the 80s. Lukashenko, for them, it's like the, you know, the artifact from the past, you know, someone who is like from the school books. You know, they don't affiliate themselves with him, and they don't want to live in the country managed by him. They travel in abroad, you know, they are very liberal, innovative, creative. They do a lot of cool stuff, and authorities just limit them from doing cool stuff. And this is why yesterday they just decided to speak out. This is the moment when they spoke out against the past.
And Lukashenko responded by sending his troops to the street. I mean, some of the scenes are quite violent in Minsk, for instance, in the capital. Does that disturb you, what you've seen?
It's very disturbing. It's horrible. De facto, we had emergency state of emergency yesterday in Belarus. All the entrances to Minsk and other bigger cities were blocked by police cars and by a regular army. The troops were put in the city center in Minsk, in Gomel, in Brest, and the police were given order to brutally disperse protesters. They used water cannons, pepper sprays. Right. They also used the grenades, the stun grenades, mm-hmm. light grenades. And we have many people injured. We have one person dead. Many people in very critical state. So I think we will know more names of more victims soon.
Tell me about the opposition candidate. I mean, she is essentially a reluctant recruit. I mean, she is not a longtime political activist. Her husband was arrested. Can you just give me her background and why she has been able to kind of galvanize people right now and people are following her?
That's an amazing story. 2 months ago, she was not politically involved at all. She's a neophyte who was never involved, interested in social life. But after her YouTube channel about the life of regular Belarusians in province, she began learning what's happening in her country. She belongs to this generation raised under Lukashenko, who were never exposed to alternative opinion. Were never exposed to opposition media, to foreign press. And she discovered Belarus reality through the YouTube channel of her husband. Her husband told her, "I am going to run for president." He did it, and he was jailed. Now he is in prison. And when he was jailed, she said, "Okay, if he's in jail, I will run on his behalf." And she did that. She registered her initiative group. She collected 100,000 signatures. And then, when all other candidates were withdrawn by Lukashenko, all others unified around her. She's just like a candidate by accident, and she's pure technical candidate. And this is why she's so powerful. She says, "I don't want politics. I'm not a politician. I just want new elections." And this makes her extremely popular.
So what happens now? I mean, first of all, a lot of the people that galvanized around her have had to flee the country, fearing arrest. I mean, some of them have left and are talking from other parts of the world right now. So she is still there. She was in hiding. Then she came out for a brief period just on the eve of the elections. I assume she's back in hiding or will soon be under arrest.
She is in Minsk. That's the most important. And she is not arrested yet. This is also important. Most of the activists of her team and other teams are either in arrest and custody or abroad or hiding. Lukashenko made a huge repressive campaign before elections. More than 1,500 people got detained for less 2 months. And for now, almost no one who can lead the crowd, I would say, who can speak out publicly, is free. Only several dozen journalists, only Tikhanovskaya and a few people of her team, and that's it. No more
people in Belarus. What do you think is going to happen now? I mean, it seems to me that people will not accept this election. They know this time. If they didn't know before, they certainly know this time that he's bent the election process so severely that it's illegitimate. Is anybody going to accept this vote? And what do you think the coming weeks and months will bring?
People will not accept the results. And people in Belarus, they learned to self-organize. And it seems that this is the moment when people can create their own communication channels, and they can decide what to do by their own. Even if the leaders will not call people to protest, people will still find a way to fight and to resist the system. Because they go out not for Tsikhanouskaya, they go out for changes and for their own ideals, for European integration, for democratization, for independence of Belarus. And this makes this protest so powerful, so effective, and this makes government so inefficient in terms of cracking down, because it's dispersed, it's decentralized.
So how, I guess who is the question? Who is a friend of Lukashenko's right now? He had Putin at one point. It doesn't look like Russia's supporting him now. He had some friends in the EU as he was starting to turn more to the West. Now the EU is not going to support him at this moment because of what he's done and the use of force on the streets. He seems like he's a very lone, solitary, brutal figure, but one that is increasingly isolated.
He's getting isolated. He's losing the remains of support. Only law enforcement, army, and police are groups of people that still have loyalty to him. And when these groups will begin switching, flipping, and taking the side of protesters, like it happened in some towns in Western Belarus yesterday, then Lukashenko will over. So far, the elite, the regime, the vertical, the power vertical, is consolidated. But if the protests will continue, this vertical will not be so strong anymore.
Franek, do you think this is the beginning of the end, or will he survive this one?
This is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of new Belarus, Belarus which will be democratic, free, and which will decide on its own what to do, where to move, and how to develop its country.
Franek Viachorka, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. And I hope next time I talk to you, it will be from a mainstream democratic platform where you're allowed free speech in Belarus, and it is the end to the strangulation of democracy in your country. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And an update, Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who has claimed victory over authoritarian President Alexander Lukashenko, has now fled Belarus. She has arrived in the neighboring country of Lithuania. She's safe and will no doubt be speaking out. All right, let's talk to Olga Drindova. She is at the Research Center for Eastern European Studies at the University of Bremen, and she is a country expert on Belarus. So let's test your expertise, Olga, because I know you... It's at a very difficult time in Belarus following the election. You've been able to reach out and talk to people. What are you hearing? Because some of the images are quite disturbing.
Indeed, it is quite a shocking experience for me. I mean, I was born in Belarus and lived there till I went to Germany about 10 years ago. We had and we saw some protests also after elections in Belarus, but what is happening there right now is really unprecedented for Belarus, this level of violence and this level of broad support within society and this protest moods, the way they are widespread within the society, it's really unprecedented. So
why is it happening? I mean, you're calling it a Belarusian spring. Also seems like a Belarusian night in some ways, because there are some dark moments here occurring on the street.
I wrote about Belarusian spring actually 1 month or 2 months ago, before this happenings, because I saw the very high level of mobilization and solidarity in the Belarusian society. So what we're seeing now is just the consequence of it. So it all started already during the pandemic, and I think you already know what was the official reaction of the Belarusian president on the pandemic. So he called it the psychosis. He never believed that the virus is dangerous for people.
He called it a psychosis, and he said that, you know, have some vodka and take a sauna, and he didn't take it very seriously.
No, he didn't. And I personally think he really didn't believe in that also himself. But the most of Belarusians just didn't find it funny, you know, because it's their health, it's their lives. They saw on the spot that the hospitals were all filled with people who had this virus. People died, of course, and they just didn't feel safe. So they, you know, they were thinking if the president has gone insane, it was a very important trigger, and the trust to the president and to the authorities during the pandemic also dropped, and we see it also the polls. So it is
you said that they thought the president had gone insane. I mean, it's not the first talk of people saying that Lukashenko has mental problems. I mean, it's been around on social media for a long time, but that has spread like wildfire during the COVID-19 crisis, has it?
I think yes. I mean, I don't have enough information, you know, to talk about his psychological condition, but it is really something different when your president just you know, has a strange manner of talking to international politicians, which is very far from your daily life. And it's something different when the problem is when you ask yourself, okay, will I be alive tomorrow because of the virus? You know, it's really different things, and it's just the basis of his support. You know, the Belarusians have been supporting him for so long, or at least we're not protesting against him in such a great scale, because they had, you know, more or less good, I would not even say good, but stable economic condition, and there were no wars and conflicts in Belarus. I mean, it's one of the most important arguments of the president, that we don't have anything like in the Ukraine. And actually 2015, during the presidential elections, this argument worked, because Belarusians saw the pictures from the Ukraine, and they didn't want this chaos to happen in Belarus. And now he kind of broke his own social contract. You know, often we're talking about a kind of an unwritten contract between Belarusians and the government, so that Belarusians stay not political. They just refrain from the protests, refrain from expressing their position, political position, but they get, you know, this more or less stable economic situation, and
it hasn't economically. It hasn't been very stable, right?
It has been for quite a long time. I mean, the Belarusians were never rich, but they had some income, and this income.
But in the pandemic.
Within the pandemic, no, they didn't feel safe, and according to polls, it's actually for the first time. I mean, I think it was about over 60% of Belarusians actually admitted that the economic situation was bad. And it was for the first time in the last 20 years that they were feeling that economically bad in Belarus. So it's also a combination of these factors. You know, they didn't feel safe in terms of their health. They didn't feel safe in terms of the economic situation. And then it just coincided with the election year. And then the third factor is, of course, that there were new, suddenly unexpected for everybody, new faces in the Belarusian politics who came out.
Can you talk to me about the biggest new face, and that is Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, if I'm saying that properly. Tikhanovskaya.
Mm-hmm. Well, she actually was not the biggest face. The biggest face was Mr. Babarika, who is now jailed, and he was ex-head of Belgazprom Bank, and he was actually the most popular, could have been the most popular alternative candidate, but he was arrested because authorities understood that he was popular. Now, what we have with the Tikhanovskaya is quite a different story. She's just a wife and a housewife. She's a wife of Sergei Tikhanovsky, who was also one of the new faces in the Belarusian politics, but he was another type of the face. He was a YouTube blogger. He's still is. He was traveling for just about 1 year through the regions of Belarus, and the economic condition of the regions is quite bad in comparison to Minsk.
And so he was jailed.
He was jailed because he was given the you know, these people the opportunity to talk about those problems, and then published it on YouTube, and he became extremely popular. And that is the reason, I mean, not the official one, but the real one, why he was jailed, because the system saw that he was actually percepted as a leader within those within this regional society groups.
So what is going to happen to Svetlana Tikhanovskaya? First of all, Do you believe, I mean, it's some of the polling stations are saying that she got huge numbers. Do you believe that she was probably elected? And what happens to her now? The fate of opposing Lukashenko is not very promising, and most people wind up in jail.
I don't really know, because, I mean, it could be, maybe not everywhere, but anyway, if we had free and fair elections, I would say that we would have a second tour in Belarusian elections, but there was never a second tour. So Lukashenko always won with, I don't know, 60, 70, 80%. And it was okay for Belarus, I mean, not okay, but people somehow didn't have this wish to protest. This time it was just too obvious, because we saw how many people came to meetings with Tikhanovskaya. And one of the reasons for her success is actually, it's very funny, because she's not a politician, but it's also the reason why she was popular, because she wanted to initiate new elections, and she didn't actually want to stay in power. So people just believed her. She became symbol of solidarity and protest in Belarus. So people just wanted change. They didn't really care who comes after president.
Why did they start calling him... why did they start calling him online Sasha 3%? For people who don't speak Russian or Belarusian, Alexander is the long form for the short form of Sasha. Sasha is the short form for Alex. And they started calling him Sasha 3%. What's that all about? Mm-hmm.
Normal Sasha 3% is a meme, is political meme, or in a political kind of political mobbing, even of the president, and it's become extremely popular. So the reason was, there were some unofficial online polls made by independent online state media. They made these polls about the ratings of the candidates, because there are no official independent polls allowed in Belarus. So people just wanted to know, okay, where is the support of the people? So, and he got just, Lukashenko got just about 3 to 6% in these ratings. And then these ratings on these polls were prohibited by the state quite fast. But this meme, it was just left within society, and it started to circle. So it went offline, and we already see in all the cities, you know, this figure of 3%. People make jokes. People buy balloons with, you know, this 3. When you have a birthday, you have the 3. But everybody understands what it means, and there were also some 3% figures on the road where the cars. The car roads. So it's really become, I mean, of course it's not true. I don't believe that his rating is 3%. I think it's about, I don't know, maybe 20, 25, 15, but not
certainly not 80%.
No, not that, but you still, you know, have this whole state system that was working for him, and the whole military structures and security structures. But, you know, this man had a very important function, because it showed people it was a kind of, you know, the president was not legitimate anymore, and people showed they didn't have any respect to him.
Olga, how does this end? Seems like it's just getting started.
You mean the whole politicization and protest?
You have an election. The people don't believe that yes. That Lukashenko won any election, and they're in the street. There's been violence. There's been at least a death. There's many people been arrested, and it seems like the anger is not going to go away, and the disappointment is not going to go away, and it seems like nobody is going to accept this result.
Yes, you're quite, I mean, right, at least in my opinion, I'm quite sure that we also see further protests today. People were scared, but people, after they were dispersed, quite a lot of them came back once again. So people are scared to be scared. And it's, you know, a new level of political activity in Belarus you never saw before. I think people will protest once again. We already have information that one of the state enterprises in Belarus has begun a strike. And now in these Telegram channels, which are, by the way, in this election campaign, a very important source of information and one of the most important source for politicization and mobilization of people. So there are already calls for a nationwide strike starting for tomorrow. We still don't know how many state enterprises will join the strike, but there are these conversations. The problem is a bit that most Belarusians still don't know what has happened because they still don't have internet. So, I mean, we're talking to you right now and the whole international community already has seen this picture, but Belarusians, they just have private contacts. They send each other some pictures, but they don't really have a whole picture. So I think people will just start to organize themselves. And it also depends on the reaction of Tikhanovskaya, because so far she has not called for protests. So far she's only called for people yesterday to come to the election polls and to make, you know, this psychological pressure on the election commissions, which actually worked at least 85 polls, right?
I'm not going to let you get away so easily, and I'm going to try to corner you on this. Is Lukashenko finished, or do you think he will try to hold on?
Both. I mean, I don't see any, you know, conflict here. He's finished within society. He was already before the election, but now after this violence, after the blood and after the death, Belarusians have never had death during a protest. It's quite new. It's not Ukraine. It's not, you know, other states. Belarusians are peaceful nation and they were peaceful yesterday. They're quite shocked. So he's finished psychologically, sociologically. But he will try, I mean, of course he will try to stay in power, but the question is to which level of violence against people are you ready, and what reaction, of course, also from the West will come. It's also a very important factor, and thank you very much that you are, trying to spread this information, because it could also be a kind of international pressure on what is happening in Belarus. So I don't really see... maybe a month ago, I would say, okay, he would be reelected, repressions, but, people would still kind of have to invent some large-scale protest actions one, 2 years after elections. But after this bloody scenario yesterday, I think people are just furious. They were angry with him, but now they could be hating him. And it's, another level of reaction that can come from society.
Olga Drindova talking to us from Bremen. Olga, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, and the perspective is really important now. And I think Russia must be watching and maybe rattled in the Kremlin, seeing what's going on in Belarus. And there are some other former Soviet countries where democracy has been stillborn. And I think we all watch these things and wonder if democracy is going to take root or it's going to continue to be canned by people like Lukashenko. So thank you for your comment.
Thank you also.
Alexander Lukashenko is no friend to the West, and he's not exactly pals with Russian President Putin. And now he's isolated more than ever. And people who live under his rule seem to be saying again and again, we don't want you anymore. And we won't have you anymore as the last dictator in Europe. It may take days or weeks or months for this to play out, and we'll be watching. That's this edition of Backstory. I'm Dana Lewis. Share this. It's important people understand what's happening. And subscribe. And I'll talk to you again soon.